ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text 25 to 26. Anybody guess what that is? Yes, it is Rahu. So today's class will be entitled Exposing Our Invisible Desires. Just like Rahu is invisible, but when he attacks the moon or the sun, then he becomes visible. So, Chakrena Sura Darena Jahara Pibataha Sira Haris Tasya Kabandas Tu Sadhaya Plavito Patat Chakrena Churadarena Jahara Pibataha Siraha Haritasya Kabandas Tu Suraya Plavito Patet Chakrena Kshuradarena Jahara Pibataha Siraha Haristasya Kabandastu Suraya Plavito Patat Chakrena Kshuradarena Jahara Pibataha Siraha Haristasya Kabandastu Suraya Plavito Patat Chakrena Suradarena Haristasya Kabandas Tu Sudaya Plavito Patat Chakrena Sudadarena Tarena Bhaspalasya Taha Nisasya Padandas Tu Daya Bandabaro Patat Vaishnavis Chakrena Chudadarena Jahada Pipataha Siddha Adistasya Kabandas Tu Sudaya Plavito Patat Chakrena Chudadarena Jahada Pipataha Siddha Haristasya Kabandas Tu Suraya Plavito Patat Chakrena Suradarena Jahara Pipatasiraha Haristasya Kabandas Tu
Sudaya plavato patat.
Okay. Chakrena. By the disc.
Chudadarena.
Which was sharp like a razor.
Jahara.
Cut off.
Pibataha.
While drinking nectar.
Suraha.
The head.
Hari.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Tasya.
Of that Rahu.
Kabandatu.
But the headless body.
Suraya.
By the nectar.
Aplavitaha.
Without being touched.
Apatat.
Immediately fell dead. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body, being untouched by the nectar, could not survive. So the purport. When the Personality of Godhead, Mohini Murti, severed Rahu's head from his body, the head remained alive, although the body died. Rahu had been drinking nectar through his mouth, and before the nectar entered his body, his head was cut off. Thus, Rahu's head remained alive, whereas the body died. This wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculous ambrosia. So the next verse, which is very similar.
Sirastva amaratam nitam ajograham achiklapat yastu parvatni chandrarkav abhidhavati viradi.
Translation. Rahu's head, however, having been touched by the nectar, became immortal. Thus, Lord Brahma accepted Rahu's head as one of the planets. Since Rahu is an eternal enemy of the moon and the sun, he always tries to attack them on the nights of the full moon and the dark moon. Purport. Since Rahu had become immortal, Lord Brahma accepted him as one of the grihas, or planets, like the moon and the sun. Rahu, however, being an eternal enemy of the moon and sun, attacks them periodically during the nights of the full moon and the dark moon.
Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vancha Kopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
So let's go to the verse again, the verses. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body being untouched by the nectar could not survive. Rahu's head, however, having been touched by the nectar, became immortal. Thus, Lord Brahma accepted Rahu's head as one of the planets. Since Rahu is an eternal enemy of the moon and the sun, he always tries to attack them on the nights of the full moon and the dark moon. So here we are with the pastime, with the demons on one side and the demigods on the other side. There's always two classes of men. And according to their desires, they are transmigrating to different types of bodies, demigod bodies, demon bodies, animal bodies, insect bodies, so many types of bodies. So these are all due to the storehouse of all kinds of material desires. And unless one is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, these material desires will always come and they'll go. They'll always come. So that's the nature of the mind. It's thinking, feeling, and willing. And as long as this mind is not engaged in meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, then we'll desire many material enjoyments, like we see the demons here. So these sensual images, they're actually recorded in the mind, even in chronological order. And then they become manifest one after another. So therefore what happens is the living entity has to accept one body after another. So this is the gross body. It's an instrument to realize those desires and plans that we have. So that's the mind. It's the platform on which all our desires come and go. So there's a nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. He explains how these material desires are working. He says that all the desires on the mental platform become visible one after another. Sometimes, however, the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the whole stockpile can be visible all at one time. And then Prabhupada quotes the Brahma Samhita 5:54. Karmani nidrahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. When a person is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his stockpile of material desires is minimized. Indeed, the desires no longer fructify in the form of gross bodies. Instead, the stockpile of desires become visible on the mental platform by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the point, is that all these living entities, they have immense unlimited desires for material enjoyment. And one has to migrate according to these desires to different types of bodies until they're all exhausted. So Prabhupada continues. He says, no living entity is free from the cycle of birth and death unless he takes to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, this verse is clearly stated, sat vaika nishte, that when one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in one stroke, he is freed of past and future mental desires. Then, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, everything becomes simultaneously manifest within the mind. So this is very amazing. So he quotes Vaishnavas Chakravarti Thakur. He quotes the example of Mother Yasoda. By Krishna's mercy, she was able to see the entire manifestation, the entire cosmic manifestation within Krishna's mouth. So she saw everything, all the universes, all the planets, everything. So similarly, Prabhupada says, by the grace of the Supreme Personality Godhead, Krishna, a Krishna conscious person can see all his dormant desires at one time and finish all his future transmigrations. This facility is especially given to the devotee to make his path clear for returning home back to Godhead. So Prabhupada explains how sometimes we see things that we didn't experience in this life, and we'll see things that we may experience in the future. Sometimes Yamaraj will actually give you a glimpse of your future body, sometimes in dreams like that. So this, it says, that which we see is the future expression of a gross body or is already stocked in our mental stockpile. But because a Krishna conscious person does not have to accept future gross body, his recorded desires are fulfilled in a dream. So this is Krishna's mercy. So all these desires have to come out. So by Krishna's mercy, you'll have a dream with all these desires will come all at once. We therefore sometimes find things in dreams we never experienced in our present life. So this is the power of Krishna consciousness, how we can actually reveal these hidden material desires. They're in there. They have to manifest one after another in different bodies. So by the mercy of Krishna, they can be eliminated very easily. So Krishna consciousness means associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a mental state that the devotee can observe this cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. So can you imagine that? Being able to have this vision. But it's not always possible, but it becomes possible. Just like Rahu, you can't see him. He's invisible. He's a dark planet, invisible planet. But sometimes you can observe it in the presence of a full moon. So even though it's a hidden planet, like our hidden material dark desires, they're hidden. But in the presence of the full moon, it could be revealed. So this planet, Rahu, it's actually very malefic. It's a shadowy planet. And it adversely influences our life. Just like our desires, huh? So Sukadeva Goswami describes how this is located. You know, he's given us a vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That 80,000 miles below the sun, that's where Rahu is situated. And it says here that he moves like one of the stars. And he's the most abominable of all the asuras. But although he's completely unfit to assume the position of a demigod or a planetary deity, he achieved his position by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we in his pastime. That's where he gets that position. And then he explains further about this, how we understand the universe. That 80,000 miles is the extension of the moon. That's how the extension is. And then Rahu extends 240,000 miles. So this is, he's actually bigger. So he creates this dissension between the moon and the sun, and he interposes himself between them. So he's always inimical towards them, and he tries to cover the sunshine and the moonshine on the different, the dark full moon or the dark moon night. So Prabhupada wrote, is writing in a purport about these different, he repeats these different figures. And he says here that, in the opinion of Vijaya Dvaja, the extent of Rahu should be twice that of the moon, or 40,000 yojanas. However, to reconcile this apparent contradiction to the text of the Bhagavatam, Vijaya Dvaja cites the following quotation. Rahu Soma Ravinam Tu Mandala Dvi Gunoktitam. This means that Rahu is twice as large as the moon, which is twice as large as the sun. This is the calculation or the conclusion of the commentator Vijaya Dvaja. So we get an idea how huge these planets are and their positions. So Prabhupada writes in his connection about, he just had to bring up the point about this full moon lunar eclipse. It can be explained as this Rahu planet going in between. So according to the Vedic astronomy, this Rahu planet, which isn't visible, is accepted, but it becomes visible in the full moonlight. So then it appears, Prabhupada says, that Rahu then is somewhere near the moon. And he talks about the failure of modern moon exertionists may be due to this Rahu planet. In other words, those who are supposed to be going to the moon may actually be going to this invisible planet, Rahu. And Prabhupada confirms it. Actually, they are not going to the moon, but to the planet Rahu. And after reaching this planet, they come back. So he goes on to say how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always the protector of his devotees, who are known as demigods. The controlling demigods are most obedient to Lord Vishnu. So although they want material sense enjoyment, that's why they're called demigods, because they're almost godly. So they're called demigods, because they have material desires. So this is how Krishna comes and protects them, because they're obedient servants of Krishna. So although Rahu, he attempts to attack both the sun and the moon, they're actually protected by Lord Vishnu. So Rahu is very afraid of Lord Vishnu's chakra. So this Rahu, he can't stay in front of the sun or the moon for more than a muhurta, 48 minutes. And because he's afraid, he's thinking that Krishna is going to come again and send his disc. So he can only, he's ready, he wants to try to gobble them up as fast as he can. But then he has to leave because he's afraid of the chakra. So it's only 48 minutes. So that's the phenomenon that occurs. It's called the eclipse. So Prabhupada says that the attempt of the scientists of this earth to go to the moon is as demoniac as Rahu's attack. And we could see this, actually, we're finding this big hoax that now coming out with the truth. He says, of course, their attempts will be failures because no one can enter the moon or sun so easily, like the attack of Rahu. Such attempts will certainly be failures. So this is the proof. It's coming out now after some time. There's many books, and you could even go on and see, just type in moon landing hoax, and you'll find so many videos and all kinds of things about this big propaganda. It's the greatest government conspiracy of all time. And Prabhupada writes in his purports. Someone asked Prabhupada. There are many invisible planets and stars. For example, when the Rahu planet passes before the sun and moon, there's an eclipse. But the scientists describe this eclipse differently. Actually, the Rahu planet causes an eclipse. There are many questionable points regarding modern scientists' theory of the eclipse. Their explanation is incorrect, according to Vedic information. And then this is Dr. Singh, is actually, they're having a conversation, he's speaking. But the scientists say that they can prove their theories. And Prabhupada says, they say that science proves everything, but that is nonsense. The scientist has proved everything except what he is. That he does not know. And why does he die? That also he does not know. That is the extent of his knowledge. So Prabhupada is saying our point is that they're not going to the moon planet. That's very doubtful. At least, he said, because we have information from the Shastra that there is this planet called Rahu, and it's very near to the moon. And that Rahu sometimes comes in front of the moon, and that's called the Chandra Graha, the lunar eclipse. So it's dark. So Prabhupada keeps again saying how they may be going there. And it's a heavenly planet. He said this moon is a heavenly planet, and that's where demigods live. So we get this information. Or just like if somebody comes to the Earth planet and he drops in the Arabian desert, he may conclude that this is what it is. It's a desert. But there's Europe, there's America, there's nice cities, there's bungalows, there's buildings. So these people are going, they had no chance. Maybe they're also diverting them to the deserted portions of the moon. They also are intelligent. These people are coming from earthly planet, unauthorized. So let them be diverted to the deserted portion. There are so many things. So because this moon planet is a heavenly planet, they're more intelligent than you. If you have got some machine to reach there, they have got some machine to divert you. Why not think like that? These rascals are coming here without any immigration license. Let them be diverted to the deserted portion and be disappointed. They'll go back. So Prabhupada's giving so many arguments that way. And he's saying how they'll never be successful. That he's explained this in the book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Anybody's ever read that? So here, this is Rahu. Actually, Prabhupada told a letter to Radhavallabha. There's a letter he wrote. He said, actually, the severed head of Rahu should look like the head of a demon, not round like a planet. And this is what he represents. This is the demon. Look at him. He's responsible for insatiable desires, irregular habits, use of intoxicants, trouble with ghosts and evil spirits, uncleanliness, infectious disease, or a lifestyle filled with chaos. But we can see the difference between a person that has an influence like that and another person as an exalted devotee like a Mahatma, you rarely see them also. And they're fully Krishna conscious because they always see Krishna within the core of their heart. And Prabhupada writes here, it's interesting. He said, it's sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu, or Ketu, he cannot make advancement in any prospective activity. In just the opposite way, Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna, the supreme planet. And thus he could not think of the mature world and live without Krishna consciousness. That is the sign of a Mahabhagavata. Prabhupada used another example of how, just like someone who has jaundice, he sees everything as yellow. So similar to the Mahabhagavata, he can see everything is engaged is as Krishna's, and everything should be engaged in Krishna's service. So this is the pastime here where Rahu, we just described in this verse, his head is cut off by this very sharp razor of the Supreme Lord, and that's his Sudarshan chakra. It's very powerful. It's actually a very dear devotee of Krishna. And we see in this world there's always two types of personalities. You know, the demons and the devotees, and it's even going on in the higher planetary systems. And we'll see here how this goes. This strife is going to continue in the next chapter. The enemy of the sun and the moon is this Rahu is sitting right between them right there. And he's occasionally, as we discussed, tries to attack them. And Prabhupada says that this fighting between the demons, the demigods, or whoever, it can't be stopped unless intelligent persons from both sides take to Krishna consciousness. So this is interesting. There's a nice pastime or story that Vishal, he talked about when he was here. And he mentioned how he paid an astrologer in Vrindavan to get, free from the influence of these evil planets. So the astrologer gave him some kind of charm, some kind of thing he could wear around his neck. And the devotees noticed this. What is that around your neck? You know, I think it was Brahmananda. And he said, I don't think Prabhupada wanted us to do this. So he said, I'll go to Prabhupada and see what Prabhupada says. So Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is beyond astrology. If you surrender to Krishna with a slight kick, Krishna can annihilate 100,000 Rahu planets. So therefore, Vishal put his astrology neck piece. I think he threw it away. He didn't care. He just threw it out in the street. And he just depended on Prabhupada and Krishna. What was that? Yeah. So then after, there's another godbrother, he showed Vishal a letter almost on the same subject. And Prabhupada said, astrology will not save you at the time of death. My Guru Maharaj was a great astrologer and astronomer, but he gave it all up. It is meant for the karmis. We have no interest in such things. So that was one of the arguments that Vishal asked Prabhupada to. He said, well, your spiritual master was into it. And he told him the same thing. He gave it up. You know, he took up more interested in Krishna, Krishna planets. So this chakra, we see it all throughout the pastimes in the Bhagavatam. It's very miraculous. Every time it performs an act, it's amazing. Just like we see Shishupal's head is being cut off because of, was it, 99 insults to Krishna. And then he made the last one and Krishna sliced his head off with this razor sharp chakra. And it's amazing. This is a great sacrifice, a Rajasuya sacrifice. And if there's a drop of blood that falls in that sacrifice, then it's ruined. They got to start all over again. So this chakra, it performed like surgery at the same time. It cut his head off and all the veins and everything were closed up on both the head and the body. So then it flew away a great distance from the sacrifice. So therefore it didn't ruin the sacrifice. So it's a very dear, as we mentioned, devotee of Krishna. And it comes to protect the devotees, not also to kill the demons, but protect the devotees like Gajendra. We just finished that chapter. Wonderful pastime. How we have these crocodile-like desires. You know, and how we have this planet, Rahu, with these hidden desires within us all the time. And this chakra comes and it protects the devotees. And we can see how it protects Ambarish Maharaj when this great yogi, Durvasa Muni, tried to kill him, actually, because of a slight offense. which he thought it was. And here's a nice prayer to the Sudarshan Chakra. O Sudarshan, you have a very auspicious hub, and therefore you're the upholder of all religion. You're just like an inauspicious comet for the irreligious demons. Indeed, you are the maintainer of the three worlds. You are full of transcendental effulgence. You're as quick as the mind, and you're able to work wonders. I can simply utter the word Namaha, offering all obeisances unto you. So this Sudarshan, it doesn't discriminate between high or low criminals or even devotees. Devasa Muni was certainly a very powerful brahmana. But because he was acting like a demon, the Sudarshan Chakra didn't discriminate. So he attacked him, and he had to go, as we know the whole story, he had to take shelter of Ambarish Maharaj. And this is the where he's taking shelter, his lotus feet there. And Maharaj Ambarish is so magnanimous that he was praying to Sudarshan to please protect the Brahmin. He said, O Sudarshan Chakra, you are fire. You are the most powerful sun. You are the moon, the master of all luminaries. You are water, earth, and sky. You are the air. You are the five sense objects, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. And you are the senses also. O most favored of Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have thousands of spokes. O master of the material world, destroyer of all weapons, original vision of the personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Kindly give shelter and be auspicious to this brahmana. So this is the showing the glories of the Sudarshan Chakra. This wheel, another prayer, he goes on to say, you are religion, you are the truth, you are encouraging statements, you are sacrifice, you're the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice. You're the maintainer of the entire universe. And you're the supreme transcendental prowess in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're the original vision of the Lord. And therefore you're known as Sudarshan. Everything has been created by your activities. And therefore you are all pervading. So Prabhupada writes in the purport how this Sudarshan means auspicious vision. So from the Vedic instructions, we understand how to see the material world exactly the way the Supreme Personality of Godhead sees it. This is the mercy of the Lord. So here it describes, Prabhupada in the purport describes here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead glanced over the Mahatattva, or the total material energy, and when it was agitated, everything came into existence. And this is the chakra. Krishna's chakra is a glance also. Another verse. O master of speech, by your effulgence, full of religious principles, the darkness of the world is dissipated, and the knowledge of learned persons or great souls is manifested. Indeed, no one can surpass your effulgence, for all things manifested and unmanifested, gross and subtle, superior and inferior, are but various forms of you that are manifest by your effulgence. This is the Sudarshan Chakra. And Prabhupada writes very nicely in the purport how without illumination, there's nothing can be seen, especially in this mature world. We need illumination. And he also says here that the Sudarshan is the original vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's an illuminating principle of the sun and the moon and many luminous objects. So he says, similarly, illumination by knowledge also comes from Sudarshan. Because with the illumination of Sudarshan, one can distinguish one thing from another, the superior from the inferior. So this is the power of the Sudarshan Chakra. It can reveal the real identity of everything, the real vision of the universe. So here we see that chakra is here. It's manifest right here. So this is what happened when, even in the time of Lord Chaitanya, he appeared in this Kali Yuga, and Rahu was actually manifest at that time during, you know, tried to cover the full moon. So the ocean of the holy names was manifest when Lord Chaitanya appeared, and Kali Yuga, this Kali was subdued, and then the flag of victory was raised. So here we see it's right above us here. We are under the shelter of the Sudarshan Chakra and the flag of victory. So when Lord Chaitanya appeared, there was this lunar eclipse. And what happened? All the residents of Navadvip, they began loudly chanting this Harinam, making auspicious sounds. It was an endless teeming, millions of devotees on the banks of the Ganges, and they were glorifying the Supreme Lord, chanting His holy names. And it's very nice to see Bhaktivinoda Thakura writes here, "All the devotees experienced deep exhilaration and exclaimed such great joy. Maybe the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is making His appearance. The only sound within the universe was the all-pervading chanting of Hari, Hari, Hari. Amidst the resounding adulations, the Lord and the very soul of the universe appeared as a son of Srimati Sachidevi. Rahu eclipsed the moon. The ocean of the holy name inundated Navadvip, drowning and subduing the darkness of Kali Yuga. The Supreme Lord was manifest." So we can see right from the moment of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, He was revealing His mission to give us this light of knowledge and the Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting and glorification, congregational chanting of the Lord's holy names. So He came in the mood of a devotee, and His greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani. He had her mood, her complexion, and then He entered this mood of devotion Himself. And then He experienced the desire of this Srimati Radharani by, you know, tasting the nectar of His own service. Oh yeah. So here's a nice Vyasa Puja prayer, someone said. It's very nice. "I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because of His kindness, many millions of moons of the splendid glory of the Supreme Lord Krishna are now eclipsing the inauspicious dark Rahu planet of the age of Kali. O Srila Prabhupada, whose pastimes are so bright with pure goodness, illuminate the dense darkness of our wicked minds. The splendor of Your memory is our only hope in life. With Your words, please kick out the influence of hundreds and thousands of Rahu planets." So Prabhupada wanted us to, He said, "You can do it. You're all intelligent." You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Parupa Upakara, you do good to others. Don't exploit others. Any human being who has been bestowed with this body, you give him a chance. Make a favorable situation for he can chant, so he can chant Hare Krishna." This is one of the last statements Prabhupada was talking about in his last days, that we should give them a chance. So here, it's said in the Padma Purana that chanting and hearing the transcendental holy name of the Lord cannot be performed by ordinary senses. The transcendental vibration of the Lord's holy name is completely spiritual. Thus it must be received from the spiritual sources and must be chanted after having been heard from a spiritual master. So one who hears the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra must receive it from the spiritual master by oral reception. So Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the holy name of Krishna chanted by non-Vaishnavas, such as professional actors and singers, for it will have no effect. It is like milk touched by the lip of a serpent. So Prabhupada wanted to, as far as possible, for the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement to gather together and chant the holy names, not only in the temples, but in public places, so that the chanters and the listeners, they can benefit. So we have the real nectar. It's given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what's the nectar? The nectar of the holy names. So we have to drink this daily so that we become free from fear. Compared to the demigods, they had their nectar, right? Supposedly immortal nectar. It's not really immortal, but they live a long, long time and they become very powerful. But this is really immortal nectar. And it cuts our material attachments, just like this Sudarshan chakra. It's a nectar. And it enables us to go back home, back to Godhead. So there's a nice verse about this nectar, moon of the holy name of Lord Chaitanya. Everybody probably knows. We used to chant this every morning. Tunde tandavani ratim bitanute
Tundavali labhaye Karna krodha kadambini katayate Karnar buddhe baspriham Cheta prangana sangini vijayate Sarvendranam kritim No jane janita kiyot biramrita Krishna tivarna dvayi.
Anybody know that song? A few people, I think. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore the senses become inert. So Lord Chaitanya heard this verse, and he wanted to dive into it and understand its beauty. And he began to dance and chant. And there's another verse that says, one has to learn about the beauty and transcendental position of the holy name of the Lord by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of devotees. Nowhere else can we hear this of the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. Jai. So thank you for your kind attention. Any comments? Questions? Yes? Acharya Narottam. Here comes the mic. Just now coming. Excuse me? Oh yeah, you recognize? Yeah. These are some photos that I took. This is this year's Gaur Purnim festival.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. We know that Krishna's flute came down as the Mridanga. Many of Krishna's paraphernalia, like the pearl of Srimati Radharani, also came down. So the chakra, the Sudarshan chakra, came down to participate in Krishna's lilas.
Yeah, it's like the knowledge. To describe it, it's illuminating in a heart. It's the, you know, just like the sun illuminates, so knowledge also illuminates within the heart. So that represents the chakra also. Yeah, so this is where we get this knowledge. It only comes from pure devotees who are completely absorbed in Krishna. So they're influenced by the Krishna planet. Only those influenced by the Krishna planet, they can actually, you know, enlighten us and give us this real knowledge. It comes from Parampara that dates back thousands of years. That's why Prabhupada blasted these so-called cheaters and scientists. They speculate on what's going on. We don't go that way. We actually accept what we hear in the Vedic literatures from great Mahajans. Is that okay? Okay. Yes, Bhakta Eric. Jai.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, thanks for this class, Prabhu. I mean, I guess we're always told that, you know, like Veda just means knowledge, you know, and there's, you know, basically all knowledge in the universe is kind of part and parcel of the Veda. So, I mean, you know, usually Prabhupada would say that, you know, what we accept, you know, pratyaksha, we accept, you know, empirical evidence for things also. We just don't accept that as like the final truth or the ultimate truth. It's just not always like a complete, it doesn't always give us the complete picture. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, is it really necessary that we always have to, I guess, entirely reject the things that come as a result of, you know, empirical research? Or I mean, just the other day I heard Hanumat Prashak Maharaj was talking about how, you know, the word for loka, for planet loka, you know, kind of like refers to like sort of a locus, or it could even mean like sort of a certain region of the universe, or like a certain even region of sort of consciousness or perception. You know, mind, like sort of space is kind of like a region created by the mind, I guess, according to physics in a lot of ways. So I mean, like, you know, it might not necessarily even refer to like sort of like a ball of dirt, you know, kind of floating around. You know,
it's a head.
So, yeah, I mean, or you know, just kind of like a, I guess, sort of like a thing floating around. I mean, I just kind of feel like kind of confused, I guess, about a lot of the sort of cosmology. I haven't really got into it very deeply yet, but I was just wondering, like, you know, if there's kind of a, know, broader.
Yeah, there's a book called Vedic Cosmography, and I think you could answer your question very nicely. Read that book. He brings in the material scientist point of view compared to the Vedic point of view, and he actually does kind of what you could say solve. What's the word? He kind of, you know, shows comparisons in how actually, you know, the Vedic viewpoint can be resolved, can resolve some of the issues the scientists are making. And sometimes it actually is the same, similar. So, yeah, you know that book of Vedic Cosmography by Sariputta? He explains cosmography. Yeah, cosmology, Vedic cosmology. Thank you for your, yeah. Yes, Satchitananda Prabhu.
Prabhu, we heard many times that demons live in different, previously they different separate places, they live in separate places.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, as you said, that at the present time, sometimes they live within our bodies, our mind.
Yeah, the hidden.
So the thought
desires
came to my mind also that sometimes it is said that when a weak person, in a weak person, sometimes a ghost can enter into. It appears that a separate entity actually enters into. But in our case, we're all influenced by materialistic desires or contamination. So we do carry that demoniac thing. It's not necessarily, this is what I'm thinking, it's not necessary that a personality comes and enters into you and is a demon telling you, do this, do that. So can you explain a little bit more in that?
It's like the influence, you know, like the stars influence you, like Rahu can influence you in evil ways. And just like, you know, devotees can influence you, the pure devotee can influence you in many wonderful ways. Like Srila Prabhupada influenced so many of his disciples and even still influencing us now. So it's like an influencing. But also it's true that you can be possessed. You can be haunted. You can be ghostly, you know, bewitched. Both of those could be there. And the solution is the holy names, depending on Krishna. Yes? Hold on, we'll get the mic. Of course, he doesn't need the mic, but... Jai, Baller.
Yes, about the ghost being possessed. There's a lot of those in Asia.
Yes.
And a real experience by my brother. My brother surrendered in the temple, and he's known by his associates, but he's not a fully surrendered devotee like yourself. But he's outside, and his friend was actually possessed by a demon. And he said, "Oh, you are a Hare Krishna." His friend, "No, you know some prayers before." So he surrendered to the temple. He knows the string of prayers. So what he did is he brought some incense and he brought some kartal, his kartals. And right in front of the person who was being possessed, talking like tongues and, you know, real weird, like what you see in the movies, right? So my brother immediately said, "Namaste Narasingaya." He sang the whole prayers. You know the prayers of Nisringa prayers, up to the end. Up to the end when he said, "Jaya Nisringade, Jaya Nisringade." And immediately the lady snapped out of it and he said, "Where am I?" And then his friends are, you know, not devotees. His friends are regular dudes. And then he said, "Wow, what were you praying?" And then he said, "Those prayers are Sanskrit. They're old prayers. They're prayers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And he explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead took the incarnation of a half man, half lion to kill the number one demon at that time, was Hiranyakasipu. All these demons are just chicken peed. They're like small time. And this demon is the biggest. He actually conquered the three planetary system. And he was praying that prayers. And immediately the ghost possessing that woman left. Immediately ran like crazy out of that place. And then he told me that experience, so I told him that you should be careful because you're not fully surrendered. And sometimes there are Brahman demons that actually they'll try to go home, and if you're not fully surrendered, they might catch you on your, you know, time when you're in Maya, and they might attack you. So I told him, do not make it as your, you know, your profession. Not unless you're trying, you're again gonna shave up, and you're gonna wear your, you know, you're gonna wear all the chakras and the markings in your body, and you'll fully surrender to Lord Chaitanya. So, but if you're just gonna be a regular dude, those prayers are reserved for you. Do not, you know, of course, by your mercy, but it's all up to you. But those are just to give you a faith that these prayers are very strong.
So
very strong.
I was just talking with a devotee yesterday, and he was telling me how in Brazil and South Africa, there was many of these voodoo witch doctors, they curse and they try to send ghosts to destroy the temples that were there. And many of those people that try to do that, they said they came and actually admitted to the devotees, I try to do these things to you guys, but I can't understand. It has no effect on the devotees. It happened both in Brazil and South Africa. So this is how you're protected, and with the chakra and the victory flag. So thank you. Hare Krishna.